Welcome to the Word of God portion from Daleville Christian Church. The congregation would want me to remind you that we believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and the God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us. And God uses His Word first. So I'm a minister of God's Word, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. I'm here to hopefully open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you today in your situation. I would want you to know of God's love, to know God's comfort and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true, even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old. They still are able to speak to us. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father." We have an affirmation of faith that we proclaim each week, and there are some 20 of them that we use. They are all from God's Word. This one today from Philippians in the second chapter. Christ Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or to be held onto, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, verses 8 through 19. And here we hear of the announcement of the birth of a child to a priest named Zechariah. This baby will be named John, and it is John whom we call the baptizer. Once when Zechariah's division, that is the division of priests, because they're on a rotating basis in service in the temple, once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, that's what they always did, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. It is the Advent season in the church. This is the first Sunday in the Advent season, a traditional season of preparation. Not preparation for an American holiday blowout. Do we understand that? Churches and Jesus followers would not be preparing for any Christmas party, A traditional season of preparation is a spiritual preparation. While Americans are setting out lights and decor, while Americans are trimming the tree, Jesus' followers want to be trimming their wicks for the light Jesus brings. While Americans are trimming the tree, Jesus' followers are trimming their wicks for the light that Jesus brings. Jesus, the light of the world. There are at least four or five angel appearances in the birth reports of Jesus. You know them well. We've covered them before. More than once in sermons, you recall these angel appearances as Pastor David Jeremiah noted in his book, Why the Nativity? There's an angelic visit to Zechariah. We just read that one. There's an angelic visit to Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's an angelic visit to Joseph, stepfather Joseph, in a dream. There are angelic visits to the shepherds, the heavenly host of angels. Now there are wise men, and they are told directions in a dream. Was it an angel? Well, it doesn't say, but in some ancient religions, the stars were angels or spiritual beings, and the wise men had been following a star. Do not our own planets today still carry the names of ancient gods? Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Pluto. So there are angel appearances four or five times in the birth reports of Jesus. Now, I'm not even sure, since I don't like to repeat myself, I'm not even sure there's more for me to say about these angel visitations. So why would we look again at the angels associated with the birth of Jesus? Because if you want to have a full gospel Christmas, you will have to notice and look at the angels. I mentioned weeks ago that American Christians' belief in angels is declining. That's kind of a problem. And we will have chances to talk about that as a kind of problem all this season. Not believing in angels is only kind of a problem because your faith in Jesus Christ does not hinge on your belief in angels. Your faith in Jesus Christ hinges on believing in Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ does not hinge on your belief in angels. There was a time period in the last 30 years when Americans kind of went through an angel craze. Author Ron Rhodes of Dallas Seminary claimed in 2015, angels have infiltrated the popular culture big time. That doesn't mean that Americans were believing the Bible, does it? Americans were enjoying television programming and films and decorations of angels. That's not the same thing as the Bible describes. Because the Bible describes people shaking in their sandals at the appearance of God's messengers. Angels are God's messengers. That's what the word angel means. But let me ask another question about communication with God. God communicating to us humans on earth, how does our God communicate with us humans on earth in the Old Testament? And I would give you a few moments to answer, and then you would say, the prophets of God is how God communicates in the Old Testament? And you would be correct. However, I would be a difficult teacher and then ask you, what other ways does God communicate in the Old Testament? But I won't make you sit and squirm in your pew until I call on you. I will tell you because I had to look them up, and I thought I knew how God communicated in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Ah, God communicates in or through visions. Okay, but God doesn't always do that, right? Chapter 12 of Genesis, the Bible just says, the Lord had said to Abram. There's no explanation as to how or what means the Lord used to communicate to Abram. The Bible simply states, the Lord had said to Abram. It's almost as if the book of Genesis has told us something that had already taken place in Abram's life by the time the writer of Genesis picks up Abram's biography timeline. The Lord had already said to Abram. But what about Moses? We all know that the Lord spoke out of a burning bush, right? The book of Exodus, chapter 3, there in the bush, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. God called to Moses from within the bush. So, angel messenger in the burning bush, or was it God himself? Or am I being difficult? I don't think I'm being difficult. Let's not forget that other important encounter that Abram had with God, Genesis chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abram looked up and saw three men standing there. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. So how did the Lord's appearance turn into three men? To which I can only say, you sure do ask a lot of questions. I think the Bible just wants you to understand that that's how it happened. The three men were God, or the three men were messengers of God. How could God be three people? Some people wouldn't like the easy answer to that question, but I'm going to say it anyway. Three men, three persons. Boys and girls, can you say Trinity? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, don't anyone leave the room because you don't like the answer. But that answer satisfies many of us, and if someone does not like the answer, they'll have to come up with another answer, like three angels. Genesis chapter 31, it says, "The angel of God said to me in the dream." Genesis 33, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak, and Jacob said, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And we usually call that report, "Jacob wrestles with the angel." Be that as it may, the word angel in the Old Testament is still a messenger of God, but try to think of the angel as less personal and less distinct emanation from God himself. The messenger is an emanation of God. Think of the angel as a less distinct emanation from God himself. Think of an angel in the Old Testament, at least in the book of Genesis, as a shadow puppet or as a hand puppet. The messenger is God, but appears as something else. Is that too strange an idea for you? Don't worry. Do I need to remind you I only got a B grade in Old Testament theology? That's B as in boy, not D as in dog. As we've already read, angel messengers in the New Testament are more themselves, separate, standing or flying beings. Some even have individual names. The messengers of God in the New Testament appear just like messengers of any royal court of the king. For half the Old Testament, there was no royal court of a king of Israel, so a royal messenger wasn't a natural way to talk about a messenger of God. But by the time Judah had kings and royal messengers in the courtrooms of the king, we read what Luke wrote. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense." What we moderns forget, and what we Gentiles forget, is that for the ancient Jews, God was already present in the temple of God in Jerusalem all the time. Israel's God, King of the universe, is in his royal courtroom in the temple in Jerusalem all the time. So naturally, the messenger of the King of the universe would also be in the royal courtroom. But in this case, Luke tells us that the angel or messenger of God became visible to Zechariah. The literal word in Greek was seen. the messenger was made visible to Zechariah. Luke tells us that Zechariah was startled. If Zechariah had ever before served in the temple, which is not likely because the priest was chosen by lots, Zechariah had not visually ever seen the messengers of God who should always be present in the royal courtrooms of the living God in the temple. Luke tells us that Zechariah was gripped with fear. The literal Greek states that Zechariah was troubled and Zechariah was afraid. This is a standard response to any human being experiencing the presence of God. But now we get to the really good part of today's sermon. We claim the Bible is God's word. How do we know that it's God's word? How do we know that this is God's word if humans wrote it down? There's one answer to that question with two parts. We know this is God's word because it was revealed to us, human beings. You and I as Christians believe in a revealed religion. That is, our God shows us the truth. The truth is not something that we will come up with on our own. Human beings will never discover the truth on their own. People who do believe that humans will discover the truth on their own are called humanists. By way of contrast, we could look at Hinduism. Hinduism is not a revealed religion. If someone asks you about truth, you will show them your Bible. If someone asks a Hindu about the way to truth, the Hindu will say, just set off in any direction you like, and eventually you will know the truth. You might make a lot of wrong turns and get to a lot of dead ends, but if you keep going, you will achieve enlightenment. Hindus believe that no one religion is exclusively true, that all major faiths are aspects of one universal, all-encompassing truth, and that there are many paths to seek and experience religious understanding and enlightenment. But all of your learning will get you to the truth. It's available to everyone at any time. The Christian faith and the Jewish faith are different from every other religious system because the Christian faith and the Jewish faith are about a relationship to the one true God. The Christian faith and the Jewish faith are exclusive. The Bible is the only written revelation of God to humanity. Everything else is a wrong direction. A wrong direction since it or they cannot lead you into a relationship with the one true God who has revealed himself. And if we're going to ask questions, why are there angels in your manger scene, or why do we talk about angels at Christmas? This is the reason. The only way that you and I are going to understand why Jesus' birth is special before it happened was to hear it from God's own mouth. Without the angel's declaration, it will seem that Zechariah and his wife just were fortunate to finally have a baby. But that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible did not say, if at first you don't succeed, try again. No. The Bible states that they tried and tried while they were young and there were no children. And now they are old, maybe, and then probably too old to have a baby. The message to Zechariah is this: your prayer's been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Zechariah's priestly prayer for the salvation of the Jews has been heard, which is what the priest always prays in the temple. He prays for the salvation of the people of Israel. And Zechariah's personal prayer for a child has also been heard and will be answered. Both of Zechariah's prayers are going to be answered in one child's birth. God is getting a twofer, two for one. One child born and it answers two prayers. Our God loves to do that. Come to find out, God has the whole thing planned out. A son. A son will be born to you, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, not a second wife that Zechariah would marry after Zechariah divorces Elizabeth for not having children. That would happen, could happen. No, the angel declared to Zechariah, the messenger of God said to Zechariah, the wife of your youth, Elizabeth, who can't have children, you two are going to have a son, name him John. Now, as a newly announced parent, a very surprised newly announced parent, Zechariah probably noticed that the angel said that the boy would be a joy to them both, and others will rejoice. But the exciting news for the rest of the people is also in the angel's message. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. The people of God will be brought back into relationship with the Lord their God. This is not something that faithful Jews would have come up with on their own. Remember, even Jesus' disciples did not understand everything that Jesus said and did. Jesus would have to explain to them how the Old Testament was being fulfilled. Here was Zechariah. The messenger of God proclaimed to Zechariah that God was at work in the birth of his child and that God would be at work in this child to be named John. God was planning to reveal truth through this baby to be born. The Bible continues to teach us about our God and his ways in the world. Maybe we don't have to be told again. And so often with humans, even Christians, we don't have to be told, but we do need to be remindered. Isn't that so true? We keep reading the Bible to be remindered about what Jesus said plainly and clearly in John. My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. The New Testament makes it pretty plain that it's God's intention to work through the believers. How do we know that this is God's word if humans wrote it down? There's one answer to that question with two parts. The second part is that revealed truth is worked out through real people. Revealed truth is worked out through real people. God is not sending an alien or a unicorn or dropping a book from the sky to bring God's people back to him. God is sending a man named John. Does not our own benediction from Hebrews declare, working in you what is pleasing in his sight? Or Ephesians, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our hope is not that everyone else will shape up. Our hope is not that everyone else is going to shape up. Our hope is not that God will fix everyone around us. Our hope is that our Lord is reshaping us. Reshaping us for our Lord's use. The news to Zechariah, you Zechariah, who might have believed yourself accursed because you had no children, though the Lord declares that you and your wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, our God is bringing his people back to himself using you and Elizabeth through your son, John. God will be at work through you two and through your son, John. Friends, that is how our God works. Working in you what is pleasing in his sight. Did you think that you would learn this on your own? Our God has declared it as his own truth. His own truth to you and God's truth about you. Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father, I thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. Same prayer, different gospel, different version. Then Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the people who are wise and smart. But you've shown them to those who are like little children. Yes, Father, this is what you really wanted. Amen.